Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a, well, it's a major departure. It's going to be a big change from some of the other conversations and topics we've talked about lately. I wanted to hit on a subject that is very relevant for a lot of people, and it is near and dear to people's hearts, and that's the subject of jewelry. And so we're going to talk about jewelry, but more specifically about engagement rings, how to buy an engagement ring. And I have a gentleman in the studio with me that I've known for a long time and has helped me with some of my own personal jewelry needs. His name is Lyle Trackman. He's the owner of Seabreeze Fine Jewelry. Lyle, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I'm glad to have you in the studio with me. I've known Lyle a long time, and he has helped me. How do I say this the right way? He's helped me more often than maybe I want to admit. But no, he's done a great job. Some beautiful pieces. Yeah. So let's do this. Let's just kind of start with, for our local listeners, I was telling Lyle before the program that we have a mobile app. We've got the radio programs on our website and also on three local AM radio stations. But for our local listeners, Seabreeze Fine Jewelers, of course, is on
Seabreeze Boulevard.
That's a great way to put, that's a good place to put a place called Seabreeze Fine Jewelers. So how long has your store been there?
Well, we opened there in 1983. Before that, my father was partners with somebody else on Main Street for about 18 years.
So wow.
Been there a long time.
Well, the name's well known in the area. And so you guys do a lot of different things. You do, of course, diamonds. You do other precious stones and gold and
pretty much A to Z.
All of it. Okay, yep. Cool. All right, so let's just kind of dive right in. And the website, SeabreezeJewelry.com.
Correct.
All right, so let's dive in. And the subject we wanted to have Lyle on to talk about is engagement rings. And we can talk more about some of the other things as well. But okay, so let's start with the background. You started with your business degree, but then you got your degree from the Gemological Institute of America.
Correct.
All right, that's the GIA, and that's in California. And you've been in the business for quite a while. I know it's a lot of years.
I started in the business officially after finishing the GIA in 1980.
Okay, that makes a long run.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about engagement rings. I read some of the material, you know, before we did the program, and it's amazing how this is, I guess, changing in people's expectations, Lyle, about, you know, what to get and, you know, what they should be looking for. So let's just do some of the basic stuff. Somebody's going to get engaged.
They'll usually come in. We try and get an idea. If they have an idea of what they're looking for, we'll show them things. A lot of times the female has a little idea of what she's looking for, which helps.
Well, that's an interesting comment right there. One of the probably the biggest things that's changed over the years is both spouses or to-be spouses are involved in the purchase.
About half the time.
Wow.
Yeah, about half the time. And it really shows that a man that comes in with his spouse will usually spend, or future spouse, will spend less than if he comes in by himself, which is the opposite of what I would think.
Well, and so that's good for them to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were telling me before we started that some of the interesting things that you've seen with different generations, that some of the 20-somethings are coming in and they are looking to buy a really expensive engagement ring.
Oh, the young kids, it's sometimes shocking because they'll come in and they'll say, we ask about their budget, what they're thinking about spending, and they're talking about $20,000. And then you'll talk to them and you'll, do you own a home? And they'll usually respond, no. And they plan on financing this. And you try and go into it and you explain to them, that's really probably not the best way to go, because no matter whether the jeweler gives you 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years free financing, you're really not getting anything for free. It costs somebody money, and that's going to show on how much that ring actually costs.
Yeah, sure. Wow. That's just crazy. I mean, I mean, when I saw that or I heard that, I was like, that's just staggering. Is that just, is it a generational thing? Is it, what do you think?
I think it's just trying to keep up with friends.
Okay.
And what friends have, and they have a this, and I have to get that. And
wow.
That's been going on forever, but it's still very shocking, because I don't think they teach much about finance and stuff like that in school like they used to. At least in my age, they gave you a little idea of,
sure,
you know, where your money was going, and you try and explain to them, hey, put your money into a house.
You know, right.
You can always upgrade your ring. And if
that's a good point, because I've worked with you on some of that as well, and upgrading and coming back and doing a new setting or some different things, or even you could always do upgrade. You could always do the second diamond if you really want to keep up with the Joneses. I mean, you can always do that.
You still got to think about tomorrow. What are you going to do when your 10th anniversary comes? What are you going to do when your 20th anniversary comes? You can outdo your $20,000. You can spend 40. I mean, it can get ridiculous. Look, if you have the money and it's not going to hurt, spend it.
Right. But we want to be reasonable. What are some of the other things, Lyle, that people are either you're surprised about some of the way they look at buying diamonds and rings, or that they're surprised about?
Well, I am surprised how educated a lot of the young kids are. They'll come in with more knowledge about the quality, and they'll have a better idea what they're looking for. They may even have pictures already on their phone to show
me. Really? Okay.
Which is pretty neat, really.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's amazing. And they've looked up sometimes online what stones are going for.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of them are more educated, which is good. I have no problem with that.
So the four C's still play for buying diamonds?
Yes. And you go into it, we try and explain a little bit of it to them, because sometimes they know a little bit. And they may be going, their four C's are how big the stone is. And big isn't always the best. There's so much that goes into it. And usually if you show them a few stones and you're trying to show them the difference in them and do a little diagram or something, they kind of get it really easy.
Yeah.
The kids, they're not stupid.
No, they're not. And they're not really kids anymore either. I
mean, they are to me now. They weren't then.
Well, it's interesting. So is there... I've noticed, and maybe you've seen, I'm sure you've seen this, Lyle, is that, some of the things that maybe were not as acceptable before, now they are. You mentioned in one way some of the expectations have gotten kind of lofty, but also some that, like, for example, the color being, a little more, not the, the pure white so much, but some of these other, like a yellow or some of these other colors being more accepted in favor of maybe another aspect of the diamond.
Well, there is color goes on a scale of D to Z. D is the whitest. However, there's fancy colors. Once it gets past Z, there's they'll call them chocolate, brown, cinnamon color diamonds. There's diamonds actually come in every color of the rainbow, naturally. There's also treated in those colors, which is fine if that's what they want.
Sure.
There's beautiful blue that is treated. It's absolutely, to me, it's stunning. And it came popular, I think, more with Princess Di years ago, that even using a sapphire for the center stone.
Good point.
And it's still very popular. A lot of people come in wanting the Princess Di look for even another ring.
Neat. That's neat stuff. If you're just joining us, Lyle Trackman's our guest today in studio. He's the owner of Seabreeze Fine Jewelry, and the website is seabreezejewelry.com. Let's go ahead and grab a quick break. We'll come back and more on the engagement and other rings and other jewelry when we get back with Lyle. Stay right there.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And we're back. Lyle and I were laughing on the break because I said, I'm so glad, Lyle, that I didn't have to bring anything back to you, because I have gotten a lot of things. Well, I'm going to say a ton, but I've gotten a fair number of things from Lyle, and I've always been very happy and good folks over at Seabreeze Fine Jewelry. And so I wanted to, we were laughing though about that on the break. So let me ask you this, where should people be? And I know this is going to be a little hard to, to provide a rule, or maybe there is a rule of thumb, but what should people think about for a budget for buying a ring?
Well, it's always been a rule of thumb, but again, you don't need to follow it. It's really wherever you're comfortable. But they always said 3 months salary. Now that 3 months salary is good if you have a little money put away.
Right.
If that's what you're living on and you need that for emergencies, that's not always the best thing to spend either. Things will come. I remember, my parents talk about when they got married, they couldn't afford a diamond. They had nothing. Everything we owned when they moved to Florida fit in in a station wagon.
Isn't that ironic, right?
Yeah. And now my mom, you know, they've taken good care of their money. Now my mom can have whatever she wants, and she gets it.
Okay. All right. Well, but she put her time in,
Yes.
Yeah, you can always upgrade. So the budget, you know, that's kind of a rule of thumb, but doesn't mean you have to spend that. And
no. Okay. I mean, you can get, there's people will come in and go, look, we have $300 or $400 to spend to start off. There's people come in and say, I have $1,000. And they know they have a good idea of what they can afford and what they want to spend at that time. And you can start anywhere you want. And tomorrow can always change.
That's true. Well, and when that happens, I'm sure this is different by jewelry store. But how does it work if you've got something that you say, hey, look, I've got this piece. Maybe they purchased it from you before, or maybe they've got it somewhere else and they want to upgrade. Can they trade it in?
Yes. We'll always look at it. We'll give them a price. It can vary, you know, depending on how much they paid for it and what we feel it's worth. We do that literally every day.
Really? Okay. So it's based on, hey, what's the, and it's based on what the value is.
Yes.
And that's also depends on the market for diamonds and also for the gold or the,
right.
You know, the.
And it's not new anymore. And right. We also have estate things that we can sell them that won't be as quite as expensive as getting a brand new ring. It'll look like new, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be.
And that's true also. You might say, I like that, but I want to do a new setting or something like that.
And we can do that too. We can literally create anything. If they have a picture or an idea, if they see a ring we have and they go, I like this, but I'd rather have diamonds here or no diamonds there, we can do it that way.
That's cool. So with the you mentioned a little bit before the break, Lyle, about the costs and the financing. Generally then, I got it, you're not a big fan on the financing. How about layaway? Is that something that people can do?
Yes, layaway we'll do for them. It stays there in the store, and as they pay it down, then they can take it when it's done. Now, again, financing, it may work for certain people. There's a lot of credit cards that they may have that give them free for a year, but you got to remember to pay that off before the end of that time. Otherwise, the financing usually goes back to, they pay all the missed financing that they thought they were saving if they don't pay it off within that time. And I hate to see people spend money because it doesn't go in my pocket and doesn't go into theirs.
Well, that's a good point. And you've got to look at the fine print. Same thing with I've seen some, and I think I've seen your store do this, Lyle. But I've seen some places where they'll do like a, you know, run a special like 10-20% off.
That's real easy to do. I mean, you can give any percentage you want off on something as long as you put the price at the right price.
Right.
We don't have those goofy signs in the window. We don't do all that. We try and give everybody the best price we can right off the bat. They don't have to come in worrying about, oh, they're having a big sale on sapphires this week, and next week it's this, and next week it's that.
Yeah, can you do a blue light special or
something? Yeah, there you go.
We'll come running.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, so when you start looking at getting, you know, really getting into the types of stones, what are some of the things that I guess you could speak to, Lyle, about the different quality of stones?
Well, first thing you want to look, you find a shape that you may like.
Okay.
And once you have a shape, then you're looking for how well proportioned that shape is. Because you could literally have a 1-carat diamond that's cut too thick, especially in the middle, that actually has the size of a 70-point diamond. Well, why are you spending money to buy a carat diamond when you only have the size of a 70?
Gotcha.
That's one thing. And if you cut a stone sometimes too deep or too wide across the top, you lose light. Light goes out places it shouldn't, and it doesn't sparkle the way it should. So that's why cut is considered the most important of the four C's. Then there's color. That's how white the stone is to yellow. Then there's how clean the stone is. Lack of imperfections. And usually there's a happy medium. You don't have to go to the very top, and you'll never know a difference unless you're walking around with a microscope. So you
have
to worry about
that.
I mean,
you start getting into some of this is literally shades of gray or shades of white and yellow. And
when you can't tell the difference, there's a good stopping point.
Well, and only person that's going to know is a jeweler or somebody with a microscope, right?
Yes. Now, there are evil eye friends sometimes.
True. That's interesting. Yeah. And I remember when I looked at this a long time ago when I got married at the different stones, and I was like, my head's starting to swim. But it really comes down to finding something that is a nice combination.
Yeah. And it's really easy. And it really, the quality of a stone isn't rocket science. You can show people everything they need to know. And usually they'll look at two stones or three or four stones at the same time. And they can kind of tell a difference. And then they can pick the one they fall in love with. It's usually pretty easy.
Well, if you try to go, again, and you know, it's all about the finding something in the middle. Because if you try to go to the top in all four categories,
you can go completely. Then you're going completely crazy. There are some people who are really perfectionists with everything they do, and they have to have the best. And they'd rather have a half-carat perfect diamond than a very, very nice one-carat diamond.
Well, that's a choice, right?
Yes.
I mean, and by the same token, you might have somebody says, well, I want to go, I'll go sacrifice on the color and something else to go big.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of ways to go.
Interesting. Interesting. Can you tell me what's one of the biggest ones or maybe the one of the largest diamonds you've ever done, sold? Or
we've done over 20 carat before.
Really?
So yeah, we've done a few big stones.
20 carats.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that look like? That's like the size of your watch, right?
No, it's not quite that big,
okay.
But yeah. Yeah, we've done, and surprisingly enough, 10 and 5 or something will do pretty much 5, 6, 7, yearly we'll do a few of those.
So really?
That's not really far-fetched on those.
So that's not something that just happens in New York like once
a
year.
No, that's pretty easy sale when we get stones like that, especially if we can get them right at the time.
Interesting. And so a 5-carat, what is it? What, give me an order of magnitude. What are we talking about?
Oh, you can literally spend between, well, depending on how fine it is,
right,
again.
Right, of course.
You can spend from a nice 5-carat from 30, 25, 30, and 100 and something thousand.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, $25,000 to $100,000.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you could just tell me, you know, $5,000 or, you know, yeah, $500,000. I'm trying to get a ballpark. So these things, you know, you're getting what you pay for, right? Or
yes,
paying for what you get.
Yes.
Let me put it that way.
Most of
the time. Interesting. So now, how about the labs? I heard there's some differences in the labs.
Yes, there's so many diamond grading labs. There's the GIA, which is...
That's the one you're in.
Well, that's actually the school I went to.
Okay.
The lab is something...
Something separate.
That's a separate lab.
Okay.
And the lab is... They grade stones. That's really all they do. They will tell you about stones, whether it's colored stones. They'll identify them. They'll give you exact grades. They don't give price. They only give grades.
Good.
Now, there's other labs like the EGL, there's the IGI, and there's others. They are also good labs, but they're not as strict as the GIA. The GIA is the gold standard. So if you have two stones that have the same exact grade and they're from two different labs, there's usually a difference in price because the GIA stone is graded stricter. So it's going to cost you more.
Okay. Interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's good to know. If you're just joining us, Lyle Trackman is with us, Seabreeze Fine Jewelry. And the website is seabreezejewelry.com. They're over on Seabreeze Boulevard, of course. So, quick break. We'll come right back.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back. Lyle Trackman's in the house with me today. Seabreeze Fine Jewelry, seabreezejewelry.com. And I wanted to get to another, you know, angle on this, and I know you've got a really good perspective on this, Lyle. Having done this, I was doing the math. That's 34 years.
Scare me now.
Sorry. You say 1980?
Yeah.
1980, that's some 30. So 33 decades of experience. Good for you. So here's a question. With that experience in hand, one of the things that I've seen from being a financial planner and investing and all that, we've actually even had guests that come on the radio program and talk about this, and that is looking at jewelry or precious stones, and also, of course, precious metals as investments, as a long-term, maybe a short-term, but also a long-term hedge either against inflation or as purely an investment vehicle that potentially could outperform other investments or what we call asset classes. So what, you know, being in it every day, what's your take on that? You think it's something you can do? Is it a good idea? Is it, you know, or is it overblown?
Do what you do best. I really don't think putting money into buying a diamond to put away in a safety deposit box thinking you're going to make money later on. You don't own a store like I do. You don't have advertising. You don't pay rent. You don't pay employees. You don't pay all those things. So when you go to sell it, you have to go to somebody, and they're going to make money. And that happens on everything, whether it's gold or whether it's diamonds. Diamonds are even tougher. Because when you go to sell that diamond, that jeweler or whoever you go to sell it to is looking to make money. And I'm not a big fan of leaving things with somebody on consignment.
Right.
Because you never know what's going to happen. They're going to promise you the world, and the world never kind of happens.
So you've got, in order for it to be worth your time to bring it into your inventory, you have to be able to take a little bit, where you've got to be able to then be able to make money on it when you sell it. So you've got to come off the price of what you would sell it for. That's the only way it makes sense for you.
There are real big diamonds, really fine stones that the real, real big boys, I'm talking about stones that are $1 million stones, $10 million stones, that they've actually sold, bought back from who they've done it, 2 and 3 different times. And
wow.
Each time sold it again, made more money. That's a different class. We're not in the class, and there's very few people who are in that class.
So somebody, that listens to this program, Lyle, they say they've got an investment portfolio of $100,000, $200,000, $500,000, $1 million, whatever it is. Let's just say they've got a $200,000 investment portfolio, and they've heard, hey, I should diversify, which is good. But they say, I'm going to have some gold, I'm going to have some silver, I'm going to have some diamonds, I'm going to have my investments. Buying a $10,000 diamond, 5% of their portfolio.
Your investments, you or your wife or your family wearing it and enjoying it.
There you go.
Yes, it can go up in value and great.
But it can go down too, right?
It can. Well, you're going to take a loss when you go to sell it. Even if it goes up, you're not going to make quite as much because somebody else has got to make money.
Well, how about this thing, the whole thing about there only being so many of these diamonds, or they're stopping mining this diamond, or they're not going to have any more pink ones? Or
don't worry about it. You got the money, we'll find the diamond.
that's funny.
And gold's another thing that, when people want to invest in gold, then I would tell them, okay, invest in gold and hope you lose money. Because if you lose money with the gold, that means your other things should be really doing great. If you're thinking about doomsday and that you need to have gold because of doomsday, put a garden in your backyard. You could eat that. You're not going to be able to eat the gold or the silver. I mean, it's true. I have people who want it all the time. And usually, it's fine if you want to have a little bit of it just for that, thinking that in case things go so horribly wrong. But at the same time, you got to hope if you lose money with that, that means everything else is great.
Well, that's a great point, Lyle. I've actually run the numbers historically. And, as people also say, hey, use gold for a hedge against inflation. And I've run the numbers. And historically, the stock market outperforms inflation better than gold does. But you can understand the question, of course, because they are bombarded every day by the TV commercials. I buy gold and you should too. Oh, and you've heard them.
Yes, I hear them every day on my way to work.
So it's like a constant drumbeat, and people think, golly, maybe I do. So I can understand it, but the practicalities of it, I mean, if we really have doomsday or Armageddon, whatever you want to call it, a real breakdown, then I would argue that lead will be worth more. Lead in your guns.
Yeah, good point.
Lead in your ammo is going to be worth a lot more than gold. I don't know. But yeah, your point's well taken, Lyle. And I think people need to be practical. And if they want to wear it, so be it. And if they want to have a little bit because it helps them sleep,
hey, people
fine.
People made a lot of money on the things they've had laying around that when gold went so high and they don't wear these things and they wanted to get rid of it or they had to get rid of it, they probably made a ton of money with it. But that's not an everyday occurrence.
Right.
And I wouldn't count on it in the future either.
That's a good point. And but the price of gold and what it's doing does affect what people are going to pay for jewelry. I mean, it's a current market.
Yes, there's no question about it. And, you just want to pay a fair price so you're not clobbered.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. Well, a fair price, not being clobbered, Seabreeze Fine Jewelers. That's a good, there's a good new line for you. Don't get clobbered, go to Seabreeze Fine Jewelry. Lyle Trackman's been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. SeabreezeJewelry.com. Lyle, it's always good to see you, and I appreciate you coming in and talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you're welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.